We're in Acts chapter number 15. And we've reached what is considered to be a very critical point in time. Mucho importante. This is really serious business here in understanding it. And we went through Acts chapter 2. It was a really important chapter to understand how God was dealing with the Jew and what was being presented to them after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And the subsequent rejection as with Christ being the Messiah gradually resulted in a transition that put Israel as a nation on pause. God's not done with the Jew, but he is not dealing with them corporately as a nation with his focus on them right now. He's pulling out a group of people which are neither Jew nor Gentile as far as how he sees them. And yet, numerically, it's primarily Gentiles. It's the body of Christ isn't primarily Jewish, it's primarily Gentile. And so what's happening here in this period of time that people are living through, the first 30 years after Christ, these Jews are like, so what's going on here? I mean, for the last 1,000 years, you know, we've been doing this and we've been doing this, and the promises and covenants you've given to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and the diet we have to go by and the days we have to, what's with all that? Look at this in Romans chapter 3. This is a very natural question, and it's being presented to the Jewish elders and leadership in Jerusalem, and they're being confronted with, how do we answer this supposed dilemma of the future of Israel? And then how do we properly interpret the history of Israel? Is God done with the Jews? And the answer is going to be very clear. He's not done with the Jews. But you don't have to become a Jew to become a Christian. And when you become a Christian, that doesn't mean that there's no more Jew. He's done with the Jew. So that dual complementing of understanding God's role with the Jew, both in the past, present, and future, is answered, you know, I think, definitively in the chapters of Romans 9 through 11. But in, I said turn somewhere. Romans 3, 1 and 2. Now, this is what we stopped last week, because it's critical. If you don't understand the Jewish people, you will not understand the Bible and how it's put together. It's put together in the mind of God. See, he sees a focus, just like our eyes. We have a focus, and you have a peripheral view that isn't your focus, that only affects you in your goals, in the direction you're walking, when it gets into the central view of your eyesight. And so God sees Israel as the nation he has chosen to rule the world over. And everything else coming into this site, there's going to be an effect upon it. Now, right now, Israel is in the distance, but they're still his focal point. He hasn't lost sight of Israel. Now, Romans chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. See this question? What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Now, quite interesting that the Jewish people were ignorant of the purpose of circumcision. Was it the physical outward circumcision that was important in the eyes of God in his instituting it with his covenant with Abraham? Or was it a deeper meaning on a spiritual level involving the circumcision of their heart? Easy question, A or B? Well, it depends which was A, which was B. The circumcision of the heart was the B, okay? Now, he says much every way. Chiefly, there's lots of benefits of being a Jew, but he says chiefly because unto them were committed the what? So if you don't get the Jew right, when he says the oracle of God, he's talking about the Bible, scriptures. You're not going to get the scriptures right. Now, this is not something that's uncommon. Look in Revelation 2. This is a problem. People have always been trying to take the place of the Jew by annihilating them. And they can't. Now, the church has fallen in, members of the church have fallen in, and professing church have fallen into that same quagmire of deception, spiritually trying to annihilate them by taking the promises of the Jews and putting them on the church. God made literal promises to Abraham that someday of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Messiah would come and reign over this world through the nation of Israel in the city of Jerusalem. That's going to take place. Amen? But if you think God's done with the Jew, then you want Israel, you want Jerusalem, and you want to be the reformed view of God's perspective and covenants promised to Israel transitioning over to you. That's wrong. Lots of people have done this. I said turn to Revelation chapter number 2. Look at this. So the Jew, we look at the Jews as though they got it backwards, and they look at us as though we got it backwards. And we don't understand. There was a young grandparents are watching their kids, grandkids, and a couple little kids, and one little girl, the grandmother was trying to teach a little girl a little word game and trying to use the entertainment value to teach how to spell certain words. And the little girl putting together, and she got two O's, and she finally got together a word, and she said, "Oh, hey, Grandma, I finally got a word." And she spelled K-O-O-B. And the grandmother said, "Well, that's great," but in her thoughts of reminder, you know, dyslexia and all that kind of stuff going on. "What's that spell?" She said, "Book." You know. And she said, "Well, that's great, but don't you think you spelled it backwards?" And she said, "No, Grandma, we just learned in Hebrew school that Gentiles view Hebrews as spelling things backwards, but we spell them the right way." She said, "We look at them as getting things backwards, and they look at us the same way." Amen? God's not done with the Jew. What's going on in the global mess of what's happening today? Don't think Israel isn't part of what God is doing on the geopolitical prophetic landscape in the day and age we live right now, because he is. What's happening is the devil and the world have to retool their evil mechanisms and desires to have a one world government. And they have to hold back the claws a little bit, hide those fangs a little bit, and you begin to, in the last days, when perilous times come, the Bible says they're going to have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You got to back off a little this business about anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-Jew. Just a little bit, till I get control of the world. That's what's happening. That's that measure of meal between those three women in Matthew he's talking. They're going to closet to an... They have to answer. Radical Islam has got to be answered. Yeah. Even among the Muslims, they know, we can't let this stuff out of the closet yet. And so in Revelation chapter number 2, people have always been trying to take over the Jews. You know what Mormons believe they are? Jews. They believe they're Jews. You know what Jehovah's Witnesses believe they are? Jews. They believe they're Jews. You know what Muslims believe they are? They believe the promises to Israel are really promises to Ishmael from Abraham. The Abrahamic covenant belongs to them. They believe they're the Jews. The covenant to the Jews. You know what Roman Catholics believe they are? The Jews. You know what amillennium, postmillennium people that don't believe Christ is going to return literally and set up on kingdom on earth? They believe they're the Jews. Don't fall into that, brother. Revelation chapter number 2. There's no new thing under the sun. So I told you, you learn the Bible. You don't have to go to Bible school. You have to have a Bible study. And bells ring. Flags light up. It's like, wait a minute, that preacher is saying something that doesn't sound right with the scripture. Doesn't jive. Revelation chapter number 2, verse number 9. And I don't care what's going on in this world, the emerging church and the unification of the one world government and one world religion. I don't want to be part of it. I want to call people out of it. That's the role of the church. Revelation chapter number 2, verse 9. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, that thou art rich, and I know the blaspheme of them which say they are what? And are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Now, when we study Revelation, we're going to study these seven churches. You're going to see how clear it is that these are laying out the prophecy of the church over periods of time. Because the order that they're specified in and the designated qualities of the report card each one of them gets. And the reason I say that is because this takes place in the very beginning of the church. And now you look in Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 9. This thing is consistent. It's the mind of Satan. It doesn't stop. It doesn't go away. People claim to be Jews and they're not. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are what? Which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Who's the father of lies? It's Satan's desire. He wants a kingdom on earth. Hey, and he's going to claim to be the Jewish Messiah, who they're still looking for. Now, this is why we'll look at it later on in Romans chapter 11. James is going to speak in Acts chapter 15. So turn to Acts 15. And I told you how important this was when it came to dispensationalism, that there are divisions in the Bible. Doesn't the Bible say to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed? We saw that last week. Rightly dividing the word of truth automatically implies in a clear interpretation, just that one verse alone, that there are wrongly divisions in the scriptures if there are rightly divisions in the scriptures. How do you get them right or wrong? It's your understanding of the Jew, how God's dealing with the Jew. So important. That's what's taking place in Acts 15. And the reason it's recorded in the narrative of this short narrative of the history of the church, because God felt it was important for the church to understand this after the history passed. The writing would continue and be passed on in the canon of scriptures. So look back in the book of Acts. But James addresses this, and we'll see it, and he's addressing in his own style of language what Paul talks about in Romans 11, that God's not done with the Jew. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. We're going to look at that phrase when we get over in James' manner of speech in discussing this issue in front of this council, because it involves numerics. There's a number, the fullness of the Gentiles, a volume. It's not the times of the Gentiles. It's not a clock. See, the clock has to do with the tribulation period and the Jews. The fullness of the Gentiles involves a volume. There's only going to be so many people that get in that body, and it's over. Now, back in Acts chapter number 15. Now, this is what we're looking at here. So very important. Three people address this question of, you got to do this or you're not saved. See, at the end of verse 1, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now, isn't that's heretical? Mm-hmm. But it's a proper a thought path of someone who's a Jew that's living in this period of time you got to be circumcised. Isn't that what happened when we crossed over the River Jordan into the promise? Isn't that what God gave Abraham as a token and sign of his faith? And Paul addresses all of this in the book of Romans. Romans is the syllabus for all of Paul's writings to the church, broken down with one topic after another in each subsequent letter that he writes. And so in Acts chapter number, this is an incredible book. I don't know if I would have gotten saved if God didn't give us this book and it was preserved. I don't know how I'd have been in days past. Because the fact that I believe with all my heart that this is the perfectly preserved word of God that he chose to put his hand on and give to you, it's been Paula. We got it, brother, is what has just emboldened my faith. Amen. I'm not afraid of people, even if they're Christians, they don't believe this book. Not because I have all the answers, because I know this does. That's why you got to study. And you don't have an answer, you study. And so the Bible says, except ye be circumcised after. So they're naturally thinking this. And this is addressed to Paul and Barnabas. And so Paul and Barnabas, they're having a little bit of a difficulty with this. It becomes a dissension that evolves into a disputation. And they're sent by the church that they're at, which would appear to be Antioch in the previous chapter. They're sent to address this at the council in Jerusalem. Big, big, big time issue right here. This is a crossroads. Because what happens here is you read through this, they're going to address it. He first meets privately with the church and the apostles and elders, and declares things God had done with them, and then he's going to give an opportunity to speak in front of the audience of the multitude. There's three people that are going to speak here. One is Peter first. Then you're going to have Paul and Barnabas. And they're only going to take one verse, which is quite interesting to me, and I'm just going to give you my interpretation of why it's only one verse. It's because of the sensitivity of the issue. and the ignorance at this point in time of the Jewish people that have not been given the revelation that God gave him, because they didn't. The revelation of the church was a hidden mystery that God gave to Paul and no one else. He tells you that. God showed me that the church was hidden in the Old Testament. That's why Ruth is right between, Joshua judges Ruth. And then why Ruth? A Gentile bride, that little sandwiched in between the judges and the kings. Why is she right there? And why does she precede their first king that they call a king officially as Saul? The people's choice, who typifies the Antichrist before David. Who typify? Why is that? The Bible's written in dispensational order. This is an amazing book that you have, brethren. You see, the Jews don't have the same order of the books in the Old Testament that you and I have. They have the same consistency of the canon of Scripture, but in a different order and a different numerical, as far as the amount of them, they're clumped together differently. And it's because without Jesus Christ, they don't understand. You can't understand. He's the fulfillment of the prophetic Old Testament portrayal of the coming Messiah and the promised seed all the way back there to Adam and Eve. And so you look in Acts chapter 15, the first one that begins to speak is Peter. And he's addressing this based on verse 5 at the end of the verse. It was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So they're getting when Paul's leading these people to Christ. They're eating pepperoni pizza. They have shrimp and lobster. Cheese on their hamburgers. They don't worship on Saturday. They don't go to the synagogue. They don't wear the clothing and the robes that we do. They look at the way they cut their hair and the dresses and the clothing. Listen to their meal. And he's telling them they can be saved. And and the apostles and elders, verse 6, came together for to consider of this matter. Do you see how serious this is? It's no different today. Mm-hmm. Understanding this is important because it's recognizing when Christ sets you free, it's not just paying for your sins. Amen? It's circumcising you from the body of your sins. And so that's why circumcision is the issue at hand here. See, the Jews don't see the physical. The Gentiles don't, see. When there had been much disputing, Peter rose up. So he's the first speaker. You got this. He rises up and he said unto them, men and brethren. So this is in the open. He's addressing the multitude that are here. Ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us. So God made a choice. It just happened to be me. Now, he's not saying this because he's proud. He just said, it happened to be me. God made choice among us that the Gentiles by whose mouth? My mouth. Now, look at this in Matthew chapter 16. And the reason is because Peter's profession of faith by his mouth had the revelation that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. But he didn't have the revelation that the church was Jew and Gentile. See? It was a different dispensation. It was a different. So right here, what you're seeing in Acts chapter 15 is the very clear-cut doctrine of dispensations being put on the table for the Jewish people to digest. He's not done with us, but we're on the back seat right now because he's dealing with a different people in a different time differently than he did with us. You got to wait. Put it on pause. And we studied Acts chapter 7. We saw why. This is an incredible book. In Matthew chapter number 16, look at this. And everybody that doesn't get the Jew right, they look at Matthew 16, they think they also don't get the church right because they think their denomination is the church. Catholics think they're the church. Mormons, we're the church. Everybody's the church. The church is the body of Christ. It's neither Jew nor Gentile. It's not bound by the suitcase of denominations and creeds. It's bound by this book, which has free course, brother, to all those that believe. In Matthew chapter number 16, look at verse 14. They said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Here's Jesus asking. Look back to verse 13. Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, okay, I got that, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? That's an important question to ask. And Simon Peter answered and said, see his by his mouth, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. This isn't a human revelation. If you can say Jesus Christ is Lord, you're saying that by the revelation of the Holy Ghost. It's one of the first things you discover when you get saved and born again, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so he says, but my Father which is in heaven. So he had this revelation. And this revelation, by the profession of his mouth, was privileged to go and tell it, open the doors, and tell it to other people. So he says, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. When he says upon this rock, he's not pointing to Peter. He's pointing to himself based on the profession that Peter just made. Because Christ is that rock, 1 Corinthians 10. Not Peter. Upon this rock I will... Now, look, jump right to verse 23. Later, just the same chapter, right after this. Look what he says to Peter. He turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me what? Believe me, Peter's not the rock. Peter's not the rock. So he said in verse 18, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Who's going to build the church? Who owns this church? You see... It's all Christ. That's why you can't lose your salvation if you're a member of the church. It's his church. You got to take him away from it. It's not like I was telling one of my kids. It's like, it's not you holding on to God and all they got to do is pull you away. No, it's God holding on to you. And they've got to pull God away because you're a member of his church, a member of his body. Amen. You're his bride. Praise the Lord. It's good to be saved. Amen. And so he says, "But and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Doesn't mean they won't try, but they will not prevail. That's a term of security. And so consequently, Peter in verse number 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So he opens the door of the kingdom message, and Christ being the further understanding of the kingdom on earth as being their Messiah, he opens it up to the Jews in Acts chapter number 2. He's the mouthpiece. And then he does the same thing in Acts chapter number 10 with the Gentiles. But it's like, wait a minute. The kingdom of heaven isn't on earth. So the Jews get pushed back, and Paul comes in. He doesn't preach the kingdom of heaven. He preaches the kingdom of God, which is in you. It's a spiritual kingdom. You see, the Jews get the kingdom of heaven confused with the kingdom of God, and the Gentiles get the kingdom of God confused with the kingdom of heaven. And that's exactly what's taking place here. What did Jesus Christ, when he taught his disciples how to pray? Our Father art in heaven. Wait, what? I totally screwed that up. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. Did you see what he's saying? The kingdom of heaven coming on earth. That's the prayer. He said, pray that. Because when that prayer is answered, I'll be here reigning over this world.
Right.
And until then, problems, problems, problems. Problems, problems. Back in the book of Acts. Enough problems already. Acts chapter number 15. So Peter said, when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God opened the doors to the kingdom, which was granted to me, but he chose me and went back to Matthew 16 to see the root reason why he chose. There's a reason why God chooses. And he was going to use Peter's big mouth in a big way. He just had to get Peter out of the way first. And so he says, it's like he does with you and I. In verse number 8, and God which knoweth the hearts. This is when we studied Acts chapter number 10, where Peter goes to the Gentiles. He deals with people according to their hearts. It's motive, brother. It's not ritual. It's motive that God cares about. That's how he deals with people. giving them the Holy Ghost even as he did unto us. Now, how did Peter know that the Jews received the Holy Ghost? Look back in Acts chapter number 10. He's preaching to Cornelius, who's an Italian, he's part of an Italian band. You're not told if it's a rock band or a rapper band. It's a gospel band after Acts chapter 10. I guarantee you that. But in Acts chapter number 10, look in Peter. Now, Peter's speaking to these Gentiles. He's got a bunch of Jews with him because he doesn't trust the Gentiles. And Peter yet spake in verse 44 these words. He's telling about Jesus. He's the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Messiah. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Now, how do you know when the Holy Ghost? Well, to a Jew, an unbelieving Jew, they need to see something visible. Signs are for the unbelieving Jews, not for the Gentiles. Tell that to your charismatic friends. Yeah. Amen. And they of the circumcision which believe. Now, when he says circumcision, he's talking physical. When they of the, those are Jew, they of the circumcision which believed. Now, they were believers in Christ as the Messiah, but they didn't believe that he would go to the Gentiles. And they of the circumcision which believed, they were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water? Do you see how water baptism is not a prerequisite for you to be saved or receive the Holy Ghost? It comes afterwards. So why does he tell the Jews in Acts chapter 2 to get that's a national baptism of repentance? That's what John the Baptist was doing. He said, the Messiah is coming. Let's get right corporately. Now, so he said, can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized? So baptism for you and I is a figure of our salvation. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. This is what happened to me. I died and was buried with Christ. He died and was buried for me. I died and was buried with him and resurrected with him unto newness of life. It's a type. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So he hangs around there. Now back in Acts chapter 10. And God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost even as he did unto us. Very important, these next few verses. And put no difference between us and them. Now, here's the important thing to realize. This council isn't for the Gentiles' edification. It's going to solidify their understanding. It's for the Jews to understand. They don't get it. This is for the Jewish people to get. This is for people that are prone to a legalistic view in their approach to be accepted by God. This is for you to get. See? Not the Gentiles. It's free? Free? Oh, yeah. The Jews are like, it's free, okay, but we still got to do something. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by what? Faith. Purifying their heart. For by grace are you saved through faith. Glory to God. Glory to God. And now, so it's clicking here. Now, I'm going to give you the chronology of this as I see how it is synchronized with Galatians chapter 2. And whether or not you agree with it, it has no bearing on the conclusion of where this brings us. The timing of it, there's a big debate among people. I place Galatians chapter 2 right here in as far as Peter's reinforcing what Paul privately said to the elders and the apostles, but didn't want the whole group hearing it. At that point, they weren't ready. And I recognize that the pattern of God after he saves Christians, they're not ready to grasp and understand liberty until they die to their self-righteous legalistic concepts of an approach to God, because it's within us all. We want something to do with our salvation.
Yes, we do.
Apart from faith. And God says, we got to deal with that first. That's got to die in the wilderness. And I'll take care of the giants, not you. You got to trust me. And so that's that whole thing where God leads you. It's a pattern. And when you're ready, when you're sick of, it's not just sick of all of that, it's sick of all of this. Mm-hmm. Then the Lord says, now we can cross over. That's what you're getting here. This is Canaan Christian fellowship. And so the Bible says, they're purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God? That's what they did in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. To put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples. Now, the yoke, we've described it and tried to illustrate it in the past. This is a yoke of bondage. It's the yoke of the law. It's not the yoke of Christ. Put my yoke upon you. Okay? And my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Look at it in Galatians chapter 5. Now, we're going to read through Galatians chapter 2 after we look at this Galatians 5. The epistle to Galatians is dealing with this topic in its theme throughout the book of Galatians. Judaizers, legalists, people that remain in bondage after they put their faith in Christ, not understanding what it means to be crucified with Christ. Still seeing the historical death of Christ as a one-time finished event that they're separate from. And you're not. You died with him. That's the only reason he can indwell you. He's holy. How can he indwell a body of sin? Unless he cuts you from that body of sin and covers you in his blood. That's what took place. That's the depiction of the tabernacle with the different layers of the skins. And the closest one next to the inner sanctuary is going to be a ram skin dyed red. Mm-hmm. Then it's linen, you know, decorated with the cherubim, the message of the gospel. Now, I said turn somewhere.
Galatians 5.
Galatians 5. What time we got? Oh, we have enough time. We can keep going. What time? What time's the Super Bowl today? We got plenty of time. What were you saying? Well, your house becoming. Who's playing?
Yeah.
Methinks the New England Patriots. my God's playing, right? Galatians chapter number 5. Verse number 1. Look at this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. So here's this pendulum swing of freedom in Christ that can go one of two ways in too far a direction. Where it's hyper grace and it gives you license and permission to sin. Or where it's the opposite, where you're in the bondage of the law. And that's where temperance comes in, the fruit of the Spirit, where he balances that thing out. Because even though the law has been fulfilled, it still has a purpose. Because the law is holy and just. It just, God allows and enables the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law, to be fulfilled based on your relationship with him and your understanding of what took place at Calvary. And Galatians chapter number 5, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. You're not free to sin. You're free from sin. And people who have mistaken the message of grace, I know in the short time we've been here, of presenting a representation of this church as being hyper grace, and that's wrong, because it's not. As a matter of fact, that's the reason lots of people have come and don't come back again, because you're not going to get permission to sin. You're free from sin. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 3, for I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is debtor to the whole law. The bondage is the law. And once again, he brings in circumcision. Now look in Galatians 2, and let's put this together as far as a chronology and synchronizing it. Because Peter is very clearly reinforcing what's taking place in Galatians 2 and Paul's revelation that was given to Paul and not to Peter. And it's agreed upon that based on what God has showed you, it's clear to me that we're going to go to the Jews, and we're going to preach the gospel, and we're going to be sensitive to their Jewish perspective, not compromising the gospel, and incorporate this within it through a Jewish context. And you're going to go to the Gentiles, and to the Jew you become a Jew, to the Gentile you become a Gentile, and your writings. Now, when you look through Paul's writings, it's Paul writes to Paul the Apostle to the Romans. Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians. Paul the Apostle to the Galatians. It's all Gentiles. And his last epistle, it's Paul the Apostle to the Hebrews. It's a dividing of time. See, if you get the Jew right, you can get the Bible right. He writes all this, and then when God, the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, this fades, and he's going to go right back to the Jew. Because what you're getting ready to see is Peter has to fade. This is the last time you find Peter in the book of Acts. It's Paul. It's the Gentiles. Henceforth, I go to the Gentiles. They didn't want God anymore. Do you know what's happening in America? They don't want God anymore. Yeah. Don't mistake this, brother. I forget that rabbi's name. One of the most revered, died like just a few years ago, 106 or 108 years old. And the Israeli National, a newspaper, they printed an article about it. You can read it online. But he was their most revered rabbi. People would go to him all over for, you know, prayers and healings and counsel. And before he died, he said that God had revealed the Messiah to him. And he said, one year after I die, I want you to unfold a little piece of paper that I have. I wrote his name down, who it is. And so in honor and respect to what he wrote down, a year after he dies, they opened up that paper. And you know whose name was on it? Yehoshua. Jesus. There's right now, there's over 300 messianic movements, ministries in Israel. What once was so opposed, the enemy, they're softening up and they're becoming receptive to the message, not just of the nearness of the return of their Messiah, but the possibility that Jesus was and is, and someday they will discover the Messiah. Wow, we live in crazy, wild, exciting times. It's wonderful to be alive right now. Back in the book of Galatians, chapter number 2. Now let's just go read through this so we can get some sort of a semblance of a synchronized chronology. And I'm not being definitively, argumentative that I'm right. I'm just giving you my interpretation, how this chronology, and it fits in somehow or another. Sister?
Is this why Antioch became the headquarters?
Yes. Because he moved away from Jerusalem.
Awesome.
And he moved away from Jerusalem. Galatians chapter 2. Then 14 years after I went up again. Now this was following 3 years previously. Paul received direct revelation, not from men, just like Peter. And just like Peter, based on that revelation, that profession, went to the Jews and Gentiles to give them message of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the kingdom of heaven. Paul is going to differentiate and show a transition because Peter fades. It's not the kingdom of heaven anymore, folks. It's the kingdom of God. What an incredible book. See, when you're born again, except the man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of what?
God.
It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual birth. When you got saved, that's what happened to you. Just pause for a moment. The miracle, not just of life, but of new life. Christ dwells inside you. That's why you think about him the way you do. That's why. Not just as a question mark, but as a desire to understand him with periods. And I've got to preach a message but and exclamation points, because we have to learn how to live in the exclamation points. So 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem, so that is delved into Acts chapter number 9. With Barnabas, and took Titus with me also. Now, Titus, you're going to see, is a Greek. Purposely, Paul brings a Greek with him. Now, watch. And I went up to by revelation. This is God told him to. And he's going to share with them the mystery, the hidden mystery of the church. And communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. It's not the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of the grace of God. Now, very clearly, as we read through this, we're going to see that this, combined with Acts chapter 10 and Peter's experience, is it clicks. It's his aha moment. Still susceptible to the weaknesses and flaws of his own human nature, but it clicks. It clicks. God is doing something differently than he did under the Old Testament covenant to the Jewish people. He's doing a new thing in a new birth and a new life. He's giving us a bride, the crown of his loving act of redemption is evident in the church, because a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. And we are that virtuous woman, brethren. Amen. This is the best that God can do. You say what? You and I, glory to God. It excites me because I'm saved and I know it. And so he says in Galatians chapter number 2, I went up. So what are you going through? That Paul says, listen, it's an opportunity for you to discover victory on a deeper level than what the storm clouds and the roaring waves are trying to sink and discourage you under. Walk on the water with Jesus Christ. And so he says, I went up by revelation and communicated on that gospel I preach among the Gentiles, but privately. So that's why in Acts chapter 15, there's only one verse. Because he's sensitive to the Jewish mind over the last millennia and centuries, and he backs off and allows them to learn it in their time through the context of Hebrew interpretation of what about the Jews? And that responsibility was designated to Peter, John, and James, reaching out to the Hebrews. Privately to them which were lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So he didn't want to, the purpose isn't to win an argument, it's to win souls. And but neither Titus who was with me being what? You see, he purposely brings Titus. This is on purpose. It was by revelation. Bring Titus. Why? Because he's a Gentile. And he's not circumcised. And he's saved. You don't have to be circumcised to be saved. And so he says, was compelled to be circumcised. You're not going to pressure and manipulate me into dressing a certain way, talking a certain way, going certain places. Because Christianity, we've discovered, is not a lifestyle. It's a life. It's his life in you. And you're going to get as close to God as you want to. Not as close as he wants to. As you want to. Now that's what's sad. Amen? That's why you have to pray that, Lord, don't answer my prayers according to my will, but according to thy will. Amen? Now, because we're running out of time. Okay? 10:57. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 2 because we got to read through this. This is Acts 15 is so important. Once you've got, I'm hopeful that the God has given a little bit of light to help you properly understand this in the time frame of how God, throughout the process of time, is dealing with people. He just doesn't smash. This is it. Shut up. No, it's like, this is what happened. Listen, pay attention. I'll remind you over and over and over until you get it. So we can go from A to C without skipping B. But if we have to, we'll continue C, D, E. But we're going to go back to B because that's part of the alphabet in God's word. Any questions or anything we've gone over? Anybody want to add something? Or anybody, anything? Praise the Lord. Let's stop and take a break.